Blog Talk Radio.
And that's what they have to do.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the
Well, hello and welcome to the 36th episode of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is your host, Amy Hackett-Jones, happiness and high performance coach and hypnotist for being brilliant in the way you both live and lead your life and those around you. You can find me at www.amyhackett.com. The Being Brilliant radio show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites you, our listeners, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. My guests bring a combination of inspirational teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated into actionable strategies so that you, our listeners, may step into being the very best version of yourselves. My interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wayseers, visionaries, as well as friends and family, those whom I believe live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their own light so others may do the same. Now today, of course, is no exception. And today I have a very, very dear friend on the line from university. We were at University of Manchester together here in England. And Robin Miles has gone on to do some, he always was genuine and wonderful and just such a brilliant character. And he's gone on to do some absolutely fantastic things. He now lives in Australia with his wife and children. And he's a high performance coach and strategist. He enables people to go beyond what they think is possible by helping them achieve breakthrough moments of truth to get clear on what they truly want all areas of their life. He helps develop a plan and provide the tools, tactics, and skills to help his client achieve what they truly want to in their lives in relationship to personal prosperity, something that I love the sound of. He's also focused on helping the world be a better place through enabling people to go beyond what they think is possible. He believes in the values of being collaborative, creative, courageous, and challenging. So I'm just going to see if Robin is on the line and get him on for you so we can get going right away. Now, I'm just going to try calling him on his phone because we had a few connection issues just a moment ago. So, Robin, I'm calling you right now. Let's see if we can get this going live. And you can find Robin at www.inspireconsulting.com.au. That's for Australia. That's where he hangs out. So, Robin, let's see if we can bring you on. Here we go. Robin, how are you?
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can indeed. Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Do we have liftoff?
I think we do.
Fantastic. We had a few connection errors just a moment ago. If that happens again, Robin, I will call you on your mobile phone and we'll go through loudspeaker.
Perfect.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Really looking forward to having a chat.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. I've had my eye on you for a little while, as in inviting you to be a guest on here, because I know we've shared some pretty amazing times at university together, and you've gone on to do some incredible things over the years. So I've just read out your little bio, which is amazing, and I know you've got a big vision and mission for your life as well. So I'd love for you just to dive in and tell us a little bit about your journey and how you have come to be a high performance coach and strategist helping the world be a better place.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. And I think, you know, like we're always on this journey of evolution and learning and reflection. And and thinking back to moments in your life. And you know, the journey started really young. You know, like I grew up, and at school it was always about, you know, helping people and everything else like that. And I grew up on this age of watching, you know, things like Ethiopia, the Romanian orphans and everything else like that. And there was me in Southeast London thinking, hey, this, you know, someone should help these kind of people and do something. So I always had this inherent need to help people and desire to kind of help people in whatever way I could. On that journey, you know, I went to Africa when I was about 17 years old, and then to Namibia, and it was about rebuilding the country there. And, you know, I had a background, kind of my dad was a builder and stuff, and I saw that, you know, what they needed was infrastructure and to rebuild, physically rebuild the country. So I kind of interpreted my skills of making things happen as such to mean, well, it's around infrastructure and making things happen like that for the benefit, you know. Civil engineering, I love the 1840s definition of civil engineering, which is harnessing the forces of nature for the benefit of mankind.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, which is really cool. It actually got me my first executive position, actually, by kind of quoting that.
No way. How funny.
Because the modern day definition of civil engineering is like, you know, engineers will be responsible and environmentally friendly. It goes on and on and on. And I, you know, in my interview, I said, that's not inspiring. We need to get back to the basics, get back to, you know, the meaning of things and the simplicity. And that's what that was about. So, yeah, so I, you know, like I studied civil engineering and did other things. And obviously, you know, we were in the Territorial Army and those kinds of things and just learning so much. And, you know, the higher I got up and, you know, I was responsible for, you know, multi-billion dollar infrastructure projects, I was like, well, there's still something lacking. And what is it that I'm actually doing? And it's that really I realized that I had the ability to make things happen. And it was about that. And actually, it wasn't about me personally making things happen. It was about me joining the dots and actually fostering and garnering people to achieve more than what they thought possible. And so when I realized that, well, wait a minute, what is it that I actually really love in my jobs? It's that element of it. And also combining that with the kind of the mindset, the spirituality, the really about raising your consciousness levels.
Yeah.
And really tapping into that kind of side. And the work that I do really bridges this back, you know, this gap between, you know, like I train internationally in the Harvard Negotiation Project Theory, really hard kind of skills in collaboration, mindset, how people connect and achieve high performance. So those hard skills, you know, but combine them with spirituality and connection, because if someone hasn't got the right mindset, then they're not able to deliver those kind of learnings. And so actually tapping into whatever their block are, and it can be, you know, spiritual connection, and they've got a loss of connection right the way through to, you know, they just need some hard skills. They've got that, you know, and I work with a real range of people, which I absolutely love, and every day just learn from the people that I work with. So I suppose I bring a real diversity of experiences and stuff. And yeah, that's what I'm in my element, as people kind of say, where you line up your purpose. And I've always had I grew up with this. I know it sounds really, really cheesy, but it's, and when I connected with it, I was like, it's so true. I wanted to make the biggest difference in the world possible. And I was saying that to myself from my earliest memory, you know, and that's what I do now through helping others. And there's nothing, you know, my business is called Inspire Me for the reason that I want to be redundant, because I want to inspire people to take the journey and go, Robin, I don't need you anymore. And I just say, bravo. Brilliant.
Job done.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So.
That's fantastic. Gosh, there's so much in what you've just said. So I'm going to, if you don't mind, we're going to sort of peel back a few layers and and sort of map out your journey a bit for people, so that, because you've got such an inspirational story and you've reached so much and done so much and come to such big realizations. I just want to dive back into some of the stuff. So you were in Namibia at what, 17?
Yeah.
Rebuilding and talking about infrastructure and that sort of thing. 1840s, harnessing the forces of nature for the good of, was it for the good of humankind? Was that it?
Harnessing the forces of nature for the benefit of mankind.
Benefit, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And that quote itself got you a job interview.
Yeah, well, it got me the job. Literally, I came out and I said, is it okay if I do a presentation? And they said, yeah, sure. And that was my opening, the thing. And when I went back to get the feedback, so I was the youngest, I was the youngest executive officer in the Victorian government ever. And, you know, I said those two.
This was in Australia?
In Australia, yeah. And I asked for feedback. And they said, well, after your first slide, we just had no reason not to give you the job. So I was like, I could have just shut up then and just walked out. But yeah. And I just thought one extra thing, I think, on the journey, because, you know, like, it's through the hard times as well that you learn the most.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the reason why inspire me. So I was a director of strategy and development for a global consulting firm. I was on the ninth floor of the Herald Sun building overlooking the whole of Melbourne. And my wife rang me and I went into a little room overlooking this amazing view. And my wife rang me and she was in tears. And my kids were in the background just smashing the place up. And things were not good at that point. And one of the sparking factors for going into Inspire Me was because we didn't realize we had two children who had needs and both had disabilities of different kinds. Willem had autism, and our other son had other difficulties as well. And I remember in that moment going, this is not success. You know, but technically we had the house and we had the executive job and everything else like that. And I just said to Hannah, my wife, I'm coming home now. You know, and this has been building up for a period of time and just things getting worse, you know, like it was really, really hard going. 90%, yeah, probably 90-95% was, you know, waking up to the kids screaming, they'd come in and be hitting my wife. You know, it was really, really dire. And that, I said, no, I've got to change. So let's not make a change just because, out of adversity and okay, we've got to compromise work now because the family needs this. It was more around, okay, that's not what we do. Let's use this as an amazing opportunity to do something. So what is it that I've always wanted to do? I thought I was going to go in consulting and do the kind of work that I did, but I was kind of assuming that was going to be about another 10, 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
So in that hard time, it was just like, what do we call this thing? And I was just like, inspire me, because I need something to inspire me and inspire others. What's nice now is that, you know, that was, 5 years ago? The kids are amazing. The investment that we put into them and changing our lifestyle to suit has meant that we're a very, you know, in my eyes, successful family. The kids are supported. They're doing really well and we're all doing what we love now.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that. Because it is also about the struggles, isn't it? It's not just the... all of the, you know, the cherries on the top and everything.
yeah, and that's right. You know, like it's so easy to look at other people, and you know, like it's really interesting for me coming back to the UK every 18 months because I see some people, and you know, sometimes they're all really down and that, and then I come back 18 months later and they're like, oh no, everything's brilliant, and everything else. I say, what about that hard time that you had that period? Oh no, I don't remember that. And so it's really easy to, but in those points of adversity, that's where you learn the most. Yeah. And, you know, the work that I do with people, I am very open in telling people about the mistakes I've made and what the learnings have been to kind of help them. Because as I say, you know, first of all, you need to learn from your own mistakes, but it's much better to learn from other people's.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of people out there telling everyone what they should do. And, you know, I think that we should all have some humility and actually show our vulnerabilities around the struggles and the tough times that we've had and what that's behind and meant for us. Cause I think people connect with that, you know, a lot greater.
So much more. Yeah. And in our world, even on the online world that we both sort of exist in, as well as the offline world, it is about telling stories of humility and that sort of thing. And people do buy into that more because it's so much more relatable, as you were just saying. And it's so much more real. It's sort of gone are the days when sales and marketing were, you know, what they used to be in the 80s and 90s. the story of humanity is shifting. And I think this is it's so much more about being real and vulnerable and open and honest. Bang on.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I couldn't agree more. And that's the really nice thing, that when you actually kind of, you know, I call it kind of coming out almost. And that's when I'm working with people. It's about, no, you can come out. You can actually say what you really want. You know, I say to people, what parts of your job that you currently do are the bits that you just love? Because there must be a one bit. You know, that's the reason why you took the job in the first place. And they go, well, it's just this bit that I really, really love. And I say, well, okay, let's find a job that 100% of the time is that. And they say, well, that's unrealistic. So no, it's not, you know, like, and it's amazing how, you know, people kind of, you know, limit themselves in their kind of thinking. And it is about, you know, just challenging that and waking them up. Almost, and them actually coming out and saying, no, this is what I want, and I actually, and it's okay to ask for it, and it's okay to kind of pursue it, because, you know, like I say to so many clients or even people that I just have chats with, I say to them, you know, when you were really, really clear on anything in your life that you wanted to achieve, how many times out of 10 have you actually achieved it? And they say, oh, 10. And I say, so why do you think you haven't achieved some of these things? And they go, oh, because I'm not clear on it. And I've always been thinking about it. And I said, okay. And it's normally about, you know, shining that light on themselves internally that needs to be done. And we're so programmed into, you know, helping external people, dealing with external kind of problems and all that kind of stuff. It's like we just need to do for ourselves what we do for everyone else. And it, you know, it needs people like yourself and myself and other people you have on this show to reorientate their torchlights back on themselves to kind of go, okay, am I driving, you know, in my car going on my journey, which is my life, or am I in the passenger seat because I'm too busy kind of map reading and looking after everyone else in the vehicle, you know? So, yeah.
It's amazing that you just brought that up, because this has actually just happened to me just recently. Starting afresh in London a couple of months ago, as I did. And I interviewed actually somebody on this show, David Carter, a little while ago, and he ended up offering me a job to be involved in a project that he's starting up called mymentor.net, which I would invite anyone to go and look at. It's absolutely brilliant. And the job spec is literally what I do for this radio show, which is what I absolutely love. And it's finding fascinating people with incredible stories doing amazing things out in the world to build this platform. And I never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that somebody would actually pay me to do exactly what I love doing.
I know.
In addition to my coaching, obviously. But I just thought, wow. And then, you know, I'm forming part of a startup and the team is brilliant. And it's just amazing. And I just thought, wow, this is something that I didn't actually think was possible. And it fits like a glove.
Yeah.
So it goes hand in hand with exactly what you just mentioned.
Oh, just anything. You know, I work with someone and I didn't, you know, I need to mine a bit of work with it, but I used to kind of catch up with them and provoke them on their thinking and stuff on this journey that they were on. And they were a lawyer and they worked in corporate stuff and they had and that kind of side of things. And then they worked for, it's called the CSIRO in Australia. It's kind of run by the government and they come up with new inventions that are needed and commercialize them and sell them off to kind of get them happening as such. That's where like Wi-Fi comes from, for instance.
Sort of thing.
So, you know, she did that. And but then, you know, I was talking with her, she was, you know, and I said, what do you really want to do? She said, well, I love the work that I do because I'm around such highly intelligent people that, you know, you have these amazing conversations of challenge and insight at a real kind of, you know, legal detail kind of level, which I love. But I just want to sit at home knitting all day because I love it. I said, why don't you combine the two? Because she said, well, that's where I kind of loosen up, you know, because sometimes in the corporate kind of environment of legalism, you know, you kind of come a bit jammed in your thinking. It's not really an open thinking. And so what she did is she set up a knitting club for lawyers. So all the lawyers would work, and then once they'd finished or on the weekends, they would come around where they could learn knitting. But then while they're knitting, have intellectual debates about legal kind of matters. And so she started it off as a, you know, like a freebie thing. And then it was just like a membership thing. And then she was actually earning money from it. And, you know, like, so, you know, like
anything is possible.
Absolutely. Anything is possible type of thing. So, I mean, the reason why I'm, you know, connected with the Harvard Negotiation Project kind of side of things.
I was going to bring that up, yeah.
Yeah, a famous book called Getting to Yes. So, you know, the guys that I work with are the people who negotiated the new constitution for South Africa between Mandela and de Klerk, you know, and the film, mm-hmm. you see the negotiators, and they did the Camp David kind of Middle East peace treaties, you know, back then.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so these are the guys that run this kind of stuff, and you know, I train internationally in that theory. And people say, well, how did you do it? I said, well, on the back of the book, it's got the guy's email. and so I emailed him, you know, and so he's all around principled, interest-based negotiation, collaboration, and positive influence. And I thought, well, if you've written an international bestseller and that's been the basis of all principled, you know, collaborative negotiation since 1979, then you'd assume that the person's kind of collaborative. So I sent him an email and just said, hey, you know, I thought I would reach out because this is me. I understand this is you. And I was thinking that they might be able to, you know, opportunity to collaborate maybe somewhere in this space, but don't know if this is right, but I'll be open to discussion if there is anything else. And, you know, and he just emailed me straight back and said, sure, let's have a chat. And then that was it, you know, that was 5 years ago. So, and I've been working with Vantage Partners, you know, internationally since. So, you know, but I love combining all the latest kind of thinking with what my mum and dad and my grandparents used to tell me when I was growing up. You know, my mum, even to this day, you know, is don't ask, don't get. You know, it's that simple. It is really that simple. So if you don't ask the universe for what you actually really want, you're never going to get it. You know, if you don't actually, maybe if you ask the universe, but you don't ask anyone else, then maybe it won't happen. So just get out there and be truthful, authentic, you know, like I say, come out, just be yourself, because you're beautiful, living, loving consciousness. To be your higher self, you just need to call it for whatever it is and be yourself. Because, you know, like unhappiness, as I say, is the worst disease that we have in humanity. Because I think a lot of other, you know, you got the mental health kind of side of that, but then as a consequence, all the other ailments kind of kick in as well.
Absolutely.
Because we're basically just out of alignment with our true selves, and it's our bodies sending us a signal. So I think if we can just get back to some of that simplicity, I think it's just, you know, really going to help each of us and humanity in general as well.
So I completely agree on every single level. So what would you say to somebody who doesn't know what they want or thinks that they don't know what they want?
Yeah, first of all, I'd say, yes, you do. But you're not listening is probably the key thing. And so, you know, I kind of just in conversation, and I think one of the key things of coaches is about asking the right questions and provoking. So, you know, like I've got an arsenal of different questions and approaches that you intuitively use depending on the individual and the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And some of the easiest ones were like, you know, well, just tell me about things that you love. And they say, what, do you mean about work? And I say, no, things. Anything that you love. And they say, well, I love this and I love this. And then you just kind of dig and you dig and you dig. And then, you know, like, what's the things that you hate? You know, and go for the extreme words. Don't say what's the things you like and which things you dislike. It's like, what things do you absolutely love? What things do you absolutely hate? You know, if I was to call you something, you know, what would you take offense to? Or if someone called me, you know, stuck up, oh, okay, that's interesting. Why is that? You know, what's going on for you there? So therefore, if you're not stuck up, then who are you, you know? And to provoke them in that way, to understand where they're actually at and who they are. Because, you know, to understand what you want to achieve and where you want to get to, you need to kind of, I don't do too much looking back, but you do need to understand where you're at and mm-hmm. why you're there, because there has been an inherent reason that some of the things that are truly important to you are evident in your everyday life, if that makes sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It may not be absolutely, you know, for me, for instance, I was a civil engineer, you know, what was the element of what I do now that was associated with that? Well, it was providing a benefit to mankind, which was the definition mm-hmm. of civil engineering. What am I doing now? I'm working for the benefit of mankind to help them and, you know, and that kind of side of thing. So it is about, you know, I'd actually say to my clients, look, I'm going to give you a metaphoric slap right now because that's not the case. and
I love
it. You do know. So, you know, what is, you know, so I kind of bring what's really interesting because, you know, I do all the mindfulness and the spirituality yeah. kind of side, really connecting with consciousness and everything else like that. But then obviously from the army days, actually just calling a spade and giving them a metaphoric slap in the other kind of, so you get, you know, you never know where you are with me, I suppose, as a coach. But
both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
right. So it is just about, you know, like what energizes you? What things do you do? And if they really don't know, that's the first exercise. Just get a piece of paper, write, draw a line down the middle, and on a daily basis, just write things down that energizes you and things that de-energize you. So when you, because, you know, ultimately our feelings are our guidance system, you know?
Yes.
There's only two kinds of feelings. There's positive feelings and negative feelings.
Yep.
You know, whatever you want to call your positive and negative, then, you know, they're the names for them, but they're in two camps. So
yep.
that's our guidance system. Negative feelings are our inner self saying to us through, you know, that's the signal through feelings that, hey, no, this isn't in alignment with your true self. So it produces yep. a negative emotion. Don't listen to that negative emotion. It will go to the body and you will start to get headaches and anxiety and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and that's the body increasing its signal to you. And then on the flip side, you know, it's the positive feelings, you know, that we get of losing track of time and love and just happiness and all those kind of things. That's our guidance system saying, yes, 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 more, more, more.
Give
it's
me
that
more
simple.
Of this.
Yeah, so it's that simple. So if you use a guide, so it's like a sat nav, you know, it's the sat nav saying,
yeah.
yes, you're on schedule to kind of be there within 30 minutes. And then it's just sat nav saying, oops, you've made a wrong turn. You need to get back on track.
Yeah.
And so that's the discomfort kind of one. So it's simple, you know, like if we look at it. And so just draw a line down the middle. What things energize you on a daily basis? Which things have de-energized you? That's your feelings, your guidance system. And then let's review them at the end of the day. And it's a matter of, I always remember doing this and to myself years ago, about 10 years ago. And I remember firing up my computer and emails came up. I was like, oh, and I was like, oh,
yeah.
And I wrote down negative, don't like dealing with emails. But then I saw some from particular people. I was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. So
right.
It's not just emails that are bad. It's like the quantum of emails I felt negative about. These ones I felt good about. And then like the next one was from someone that I went, oh. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Let's look at each of these emails and what goes on inside of me. So that one, yay. That one, oh. That one, oh. That one, oh. That one, oh. That one, yay. And so
yeah.
I was like, what's the trend there? And it was a matter of any email that was from someone that was associated with a subject or the person was someone who was in leadership mindset. Leadership being creating a future where the problems of today don't exist versus management emails, which are about solving the next problem. If it was management solving the next problem, then I wasn't interested and it de-energized me because I knew the person generally had a management mindset with everything. So whatever was in the content of the email, I knew how it was going to be framed. But anyone who was about creating a new future, seeing opportunities, seeing, you know, even out of difficulties, like leadership ways that we could deal with it, those people, I was like, yeah. And so I was like, okay, I'm doing a job which is 50% management. Everyone says that I was a, you know, you're a leader, but then, you know, they give you loads of stuff that you have to do on a daily basis, like, you know, when you're reporting to ministers and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I kind of realized that it's the leadership stuff. It's the it's the making a difference that I really, really love. And so that was the, you know, the big insight to, you know, I'd love a job where I'm only doing that, that kind of stuff. And so that's why I get clients to do. And I give them that example of the types of things. Don't just kind of go, well, I like it when I'm doing fun stuff and I don't like it when I'm doing unfun stuff. Okay, well, you know, let's unpack that to, you know, to a level of detail to then kind of come back and analyze it. So there's some good tips there for people if they want to do that. And almost it's helpful to do, like, you know, I do it every 3 months. Like, what am I doing at the moment that's starting to, you know, de-energizing me? What's the things that are re-energizing me? Let's orientate ourselves and make sure that we're only doing the, you know, and the aim is that 100% of what you do on a daily basis is putting a massive smile on your face. You know, that's when you're living in your element, you know, I believe.
Absolutely. Amazing. So this is Amy Hackett-Jones, episode number 36 of the Being Brilliant Radio Show. A little bit of echo there. Sorry about that. And I'm interviewing Robin Miles, who is a high-performance coach and strategist. And you can find him at inspiremeconsulting.com.au. So I'm going to ask you to keep talking, Robin, because I've got some I've got some echo here.
No worries.
So thank you so much for sharing what you've just had, because there's so much insightful, great stuff there for people to talk about and to go away with and practice. And I love that actually you come back every 3 months to look at this.
And I call it.
Explain the power of that coming, because this is something as well.
Because the key thing, like, if you like, and life is a journey, it's not about a destination. As soon as you see life as a destination, then you've lost it, in my eyes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like climbing the ladder of success only to realize that you've propped it up against the wrong wall. you know, it's just like, well, what's beyond success? You know, like, let's go deeper than that. And then that's when you really tap into people. And so life is a journey. And if you take that analogy, and I actually been using this analogy, I saw someone else did a blog article on this on LinkedIn just recently as well, and they wrote it much beautifully, much better than I could write it. But it's, you know, like, if it's a journey and you're in an aeroplane and, you know, you leave Melbourne and you're on your way to London and you're 2 degrees off of course, it doesn't really matter, you know, initially. But the further that you go off course, the greater the level of discomfort you're going to have, where, you know, like, if you keep going 2 degrees and 2 degrees, you're so far off course that the discomfort's coming greater. To get yourself back to where you want to get to is such a big jump. You've now added on an extra, you know, 8 hours on your flight time, which no one wants when you're going from, you know, Melbourne to London, having just done it recently. So, you know, and it's harder to do. And so the realignment process is critical. And I'll give you two examples of clients that I've just been working with just recently, where one guy I knew that he wasn't, I offer people, when your listeners as well, I kind of often do free strategy calls with people, one way of me helping people. I learn from kind of what the challenges are that people are kind of having, and if there's an opportunity for us to work together, then great, but if there's not, fine. And this guy, it clearly wasn't, because he was, you know, living in, where was he living in, I can't remember what they call it in America, but kind of sheltered accommodation in America, and he'd been made redundant, you know, 16 times over the last 10 years, and he'd been divorced, and his kids had kind of abandoned him and all this kind of stuff. And it was interesting, because he said, but I still believe, and I know that I want to get back on track, and I think he might be able to help me. And I was like, cool, let's jump on a call, let's do this. And what was interesting is, in the call, he, and I spoke about the alignment process and everything else like that, and he pinpointed, within a 45-minute call, he had pinpointed the moment that he said to me, I can pinpoint the moment that my plane started going off course. He said it was 20 years ago. And he said, I never, ever did a realignment. And it just the chasm just started, it got greater and greater and greater. And the further he went off the path, it's harder to find your path again. And he literally, you know, through all this pain he'd been through, and he said, but ultimately, you know, I'm whatever he was, 55 years old, And he kind of said, but I've, you know, I'm looking forward to the next 20. And I said, yeah, that's the decision you can make. The next 20 are going to be aligned with your true self, and they're going to be the best 20 years of your life now. And he said, absolutely, I know now what to do. And so, you know, off he went, and he's let me know about some of the things. And again, another guy who was he knew that he was kind of going off course with things and stuff, and I helped him kind of personally. And then he spoke about his personal relationship and stuff, and I spoke about me and my wife who do this realignment, and he said, how often do you do it? And I told him, and he was like, oh wow. I said, how many times have you done it? He said, 3 times in his whole marriage, and I think he'd been married for like 25 years. But
wow.
What had happened is they literally, I think he said, you're right. He said, because we leave it till it gets to absolute breaking point where we think we're going to get divorced. We do that realignment process, and then we're good for the next decade. And I said, so if it works then, why wouldn't you do it every 3 months
right.
to take your relationship from a 7 out of 10 to a 10 out of 10 without the need for the boom bust?
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Every time, you know, I do strategy reviews for myself personally and professionally as well. And what I always notice, and that's why I believe in what I do, is because whenever I do it, I realize that all the things on my to-do list are not on my critical list of things to do when I actually sit back and go, where am I? Where do I want to be? What's the things that I should be doing, which is taking leadership in your life? Mm-hmm. All those actions don't even exist on my to-do list. And that's that realignment and reorientation, back to achieving what you really want, other than getting, because it's so easy for us to get bogged down in the daily, kind of activities of everyday life. So that realignment and making sure that you are aligned, and it's so key for relationships, because when I'm working with executive teams, for instance, I say with the CEO or the managing director or whatever, you've got to have the clarity. Then secondly, you've got to be on board, because leadership is about creating followers. And really engaging with them in the having humility around that and authenticity. And so you've got to get your executive team 100% engaged and 100% on board. And so relationships are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of if you've got the clarity in your life about, what success is for you and what you want, you then got to onboard the key people that you want to come along on that journey with you. Because if you're not, you're setting yourself up for kind of failure, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so it's such a key thing. And I helped someone just recently who was having problems in their relationship and everything else like that. And I said to them, I said, look, just one tip, use leadership in your relationship, not management. They said, what do you mean by that? And I said, well,
go home
to your wife. Go home to your wife and just say to her, I want to have a conversation about my commitment to our relationship and what I'm 100% committed to achieving and what it means to me. And see then if she says, oh, look, I just haven't got time for that right now. And then the second thing is to say, look, what I really want in our relationship is and I'm committed to is a beautiful, loving, supported relationship where we both feel honored, we both feel special, and we support each other in achieving great things. That's what I'm 100%. That's what, I want to be living every single day. And I understand we're not there at the moment, but that's what I'm committed to. And what I really love is having a conversation with you about how we get back on track with that and get that connection and achieve that every day. Is that okay? And, just by setting that as the outcome that you want to achieve, rather than kind of having a conversation with, look, I need to have a conversation with the fact that you're working too much and you're not helping me out with the home and we've got a problem with the kids and stuff, which is so kind of like, oh God, I don't want to have that conversation. Do you know what I mean? So it's like taking leadership in every area of your life, using, I call it the three idiot steps of survival or strategy or whatever, because it's about understanding where you are, understanding where you want to get to, and then thirdly, what do you need to do to get there? Everyone's so busy in life having the conversation of the things that they need to do to get them to where they might want to be without having the clarity of where they are and where they want to be. And so, you know, by using these really simple models, if you want to call them models, but if you want to, you know, it's simplicity. Just break it down into those things. Do that realignment and set yourself, and you're setting yourself up for success.
That's amazing. And on the note there of going home and having these brilliant conversations. One thing I learned a long time ago as well was under every complaint is a request.
Quest, yeah, yeah, correct. And so we're so, you know, and you know, it's about these shifts of thinking. So instead of talking about blame, talk about contribution.
Yes.
Because the thing is that, you know, our relationship was strained. What was contributing to that? Well, you know, I'm commuting up to Melbourne every day for work, and I'm traveling an hour and a half, you know, there and back, which is a drain on me, therefore on me, on us as a family. The children, you know, had difficulties that we didn't expect. You know, we were doing a renovation, we were doing this, we were doing this. So they're all forms of contribution. Rather than, well, Robin, you're doing this and I'm doing this, and, you know, rather than, you know, be hard on the problem, easy on the people, because there's a lot of levels of contribution to any kind of thing. So it's about shifting that mindset from blame to contribution. Instead of thinking about who's right and who's wrong, it's about understanding that there's more than one way to see things. You know, it's the subtlest of shifts to achieve the greatest of results that's actually needed. And it's all about kind of getting out that negative mindset to being a positive kind of mindset that's needed. And I know that sounds cheesy, but it's nothing. And I actually do that even with clients. Again, I kind of, you know, where someone, you know, you say, you know, what do you do with a client when they're like this? With a client who's just so full of negativity, I go, and I'm trying to work with them, and I go, great, okay, let's do it. Right, I want you now to get it out. Let's write it down. Get everything you've ever really wanted to say. Get all of it out now. Just go for it. Shout, scream if you want, and I'll write it down and I'll capture it. And they go, rah, 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 and I capture it all down. And I go, right, is that it? Two things that normally happen. One, it's not that long a list, but it's good for them to actually get it out. And then secondly, what I then do is I draw a line and go, great, now I want you to reframe all those negative things into positive things. So, for instance, that, you know, it might be something like, she doesn't listen to me. Well, how do you frame that into a positive? Well, maybe I'm not communicating clearly enough.
Yeah.
Is a positive way of seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for every negative, you know, one, we reframe it into the book, and you literally, what happens subconsciously is that they're shifting their thinking, they're shifting it across. And then what you do is in the next column, and I break everything down normally to about three things, because or maybe five tops, because above five I forget them. So, you know, the next one then is to go, right, as a consequence of reframing from a negative to a positive, what's the action that you can now take? So it may be, okay, well, I'm actually going to go and talk to this person and understand their communication preferences. Cool.
Right.
So we've got
exactly.
an action now to move them in a positive direction. Does that make sense? Because in the negative, you have the assumption that I'm right, they're wrong. There's no action that can come of that. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, that's that. But if you kind of have, well, maybe there's a different way of seeing the situation. Well, that leads you to a question of, well, I then need to have a conversation with the person to understand what that other way of seeing it might be.
Yeah.
So it's all these subtle shifts that are needed. But again, you know, leadership, in this is what I've always banged on about, leadership is an action. You need to do something. It's like Nike, you know, just do it. You've got to do something.
Yes.
And I've never, you know, and, you know, people have asked me to facilitate workshops sometimes, and I've said, well, you know, what's going to come of this as a consequence? It's, oh, well, you know, it's about forming our strategy and doing X, Y, and Z. I say, so what are you going to do as an action, as a consequence? Because I'm not going to facilitate a workshop where everyone feels warm and fuzzy in their tummy and they all go home and they don't take any action and there's no impact on this world, because that's not leadership. And so everything that you do, all the mindset stuff, needs to lead you to an action which will lead you to a different result, which is hopefully more aligned with what you want to achieve. And if even if it isn't, you know, like, was it, you know, just have a crack sometimes, is, you know, take an action. And if you, if it doesn't work out, then great. You know, that's not the way.
Okay.
You know,
like Edison,
so,
right?
Yeah, correct. Correct. It's like, you know, was it shoot, shoot, aim as well? You know, like I remember in the army, it was like, I always remember company sergeant major coming over to me and he said, "Miles, what are you doing?" I said, "I can't see anything." We said, "Do something then." So it's just like, oh, great. That's really helpful, sir. So, but it's true. Just,
I love
if
it.
You
it's
say,
so true.
If you say, if, you know, if you've got your head down and there's, you know, you're under attack and there's fire coming over you, and this is a metaphoric for in your real life
of
situation,
yeah.
But in that situation, that's really what was happening. If you've got your head down and you can't see anything because you've got fire and chaos all around you, then nothing's going to happen. You're just going to stay stuck. So if you want to stay unstuck, you've got to move. So move to a different place, because maybe you'll see something, or maybe it will, I don't know, you'll realize that's an even worse place. So you'll come back to where you are and be thankful for where you were. But, you know, you've got to take an action, because you don't learn anything from.
So true.
So hopefully that's making sense.
Absolutely is to me.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. So again, you can find Robin at inspiremeconsulting.com.au. And as you mentioned earlier, he does free strategy sessions. So if I were you, I'd go book a call right now.
Yeah, more than happy. And if you know, there's I've just got a website, which is meetme.so/Robin. And,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, if you go there, if you go to that website, you can just see my calendar and you can just book in a call with me. And yeah, more than happy to connect with people on Skype and phone or whatever to talk through where they're at, what they're wanting to achieve, and give them some personalized kind of insights to the strategy that they may want to take on board.
Amazing. Cool. Well, I want to ask you about what you think the future of leadership is, because we've kind of come from this patriarchal, let's say, energy space in terms of sort of, I put it as conquer, colonize and compete. And that's kind of how we've got to where we are today.
Mm.
And it's both had its benefits and also its not quite so beneficial sides. And then the sort of more matriarchal energy way of looking at it is more a collaborative, communicative, community-based space. So you've kind of got the community, the collaboration, et cetera, on one side, you've got the conquer, colonize, compete on the other side. And it's not that one is right and one is wrong, it's just they've been out of balance.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering what your take is on that, because I know you talk about being collaborative, creative, courageous and challenging. So there's sort of a mix of both of those in there.
I think that we're in a bit of a defining moment on a couple of fronts. One, which is about, you know, still that conquer and you know, power kind of side of things. And I think we're in a defining moment between consciousness levels, to be honest.
Yeah.
And what I see is there's just this real divide. People are kind of, they're either going back to basics, back to, you know, like, because happiness, for instance, the people with the most happiness are the people who are connected to community and earth in the greatest kind of way. So they grow their own vegetables, they're part of community gardens and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like, I live in Byron Bay now, which is just amazing. You know, it's one of the international hotspots for community and conservation and consciousness, which is just cool to be around. And so, you know, people are either going that way, you know, going organic, going natural, making other consciousness decisions around going even vegan or whatever the case is, just being enlightened and seeing that as true success. Then you've got the kind of the people who are maybe on the fence kind of previously going more into the unconsciousness, you know, kind of side of things, going, oh, no, you know, which is about drawing boundaries on, you know, like countries even as well, who are fighting for territory and fighting for position and all that kind of stuff, and enlisting people on, you know, kind of brainwashing them about, you know, this is the way, which is, you know, I don't know of any kind of religious and or spiritual kind of text which is, you know, about death and destruction to people. And so it's, you know, we're in a dividing kind of moment between people who want to go one way and people who want to go the other. And so, and I think that's the same for leadership as well, that people are going to be more of, you know, kind of kill and conquer in one way, and kind of, you know, it is about bringing much more of the mindfulness, the spirituality to kind of the work kind of environment. So, you know, I actually see myself bridging the gap between both, and I understand my unique gifts, I suppose, in that on that spectrum of spirituality and mindset, I've got other people who sit at different levels, and, you know, I connect with them, because, and if someone needs something further down that spectrum that I feel that the person needs, then I refer them or give them to somebody else to kind of do that stuff. But then equally on the hard skills type of stuff, if, you know, like I've been asked to do things, oh, look, Robin, can you train us on this so that we can, you know, destroy our competition or manipulate our customers to get a better outcome? I'm like, no, I can't, thank you. So, you know, but I do entertain kind of working with big corporates and stuff like that, whereas a lot of other people on the spirituality side kind of wouldn't. So I very much do bridge that gap, but I do see, and I see that as a bit of a unique proposition, because we are in that defining moment between the two. And by me being the bridge, the aim is to convert as many people over to the consciousness side, and people from the consciousness side to see, you know, the light in being a beacon to others to kind of come that way, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, that's how I see it. And you're into, you know, you're absolutely right about neither being wrong or right. And so my kids go to a Steiner education, the two forms of education that they're doing the best is kind of like the Chinese version, which is, you know, pump them full of theory as early as possible and structure, structure, structure. They're achieving great results. And then on the other side of the spectrum, it's like the Steiner education, like Sweden and those kind of countries, which is, no, leave them. Just let them play.
Yeah.
And when they're ready, then teach them stuff. And my kids go to a Steiner education. And, you know, the Steiner teacher kind of said it, you know, but basically there are these two kind of philosophies. Both are working. Both are getting results. And it's a value perspective of which one you kind of want to go down. And so, yeah, in that kind of way, I don't see either being wrong or right. But all I want is humanity in general to make more conscious decisions, full stop.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, and so, you know, I may not like the decision, but if it's been a conscious one, then I'm okay with it, you know? And that's where some of the big votes that have happened, you know, recently globally with politicians and everything else like that. I'm like, the only thing that I'm disappointed with is I don't feel that was a conscious vote that occurred. Does that make sense? There was so much manipulation of information or whatever. I think generally people weren't able to make a conscious decision. But then some people also made that decision of going, oh, well, I'm just going to make a judgment on this, and I'm going to go the unconscious way, versus no, I'm going to actually find out more information and make myself an informed kind of decision maker on this topic, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So future of leadership, I think we're going to see the divide grow even greater, to be honest. And there's going to be a greater need for, it's back to basics, to be honest. There's going to be a greater drive of kind of back to basics with things, and more authenticity, more realness and those kind of things. And again, that's probably why some of the votes have kind of happened, because people have just been out there kind of connecting with real people, you know, how authentically they do it. The impact has been that they've been authentic, therefore they, you know, they get people to follow, which is one of the key things of leadership. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, amazing. Thank you so much. So given this is the Being Brilliant radio show, what would be your top three tips for being brilliant?
My top three tips are, and I think I've kind of reiterated, I may change them as well. The big one that I say is stop listening to me, you, and people like us. And people go, what do you mean by that? And I'm like, because by listening to people and this show, I want you to dial into the show. But what I want you to do is listen to yourself as you're listening to this.
Yes.
That's what I mean.
Brilliant.
So
brilliant.
Still dial in. I don't want everyone to log off now. But it's about, you know, what does this mean for me? Because as soon as you kind of listen to any of the motivational people and you're just listening to what they're saying, you kind of get caught up on it. And even if you want to pay for something and subscribe to it or whatever, you're kind of externalizing your life. Do you know what I mean? Mm. You're putting life in other people's hands rather than kind of going, cool, that's really cool stuff. But what does it, this is the thing, what does that mean for me? What action do I now need to take? What bits in my guidance system? So when people are listening to this and even the replay of this, I want them to kind of go, well, what moments did I go, oh, that felt good for me? And what bits did I go, oh, no, that didn't feel for me? Therefore, if I felt yay and then nay on those bits, what meaning do I take from that?
Brilliant.
that's what I mean about stop listening to people, because then you will realize what more about your true self, and the more clarity you can have about your true self, then you can take actions aligned with your true self and be brilliant. So that's my kind of my top one. The second one is then with that, like I say, my three idiot steps to strategy and anything else is just complicating it, is about understanding where are you? If you break yourself down, so think about for yourself, what are the different areas of your life that are important to you? And in each of those areas of your life that are important to you, where are you at with each of them? You know, so your home, so you're renting, or you've got a house but it's too small, or you know, whatever the case may be. Income, you know, well, you know, what are you earning as income? Relationships, where are you at with relationships? And then just write down, where do you want to be with each area of your life? So that's your being brilliant. Like, what does that actually look like? Because I've got a venture, for instance, on my things. You know, so Edmund Hillary probably had a venture on an important aspect of his life, but his measure of success for adventure, you know, might have been a little bit more than mine, you know. I've been to base camp, but he had higher heights, you know. So so define what success is for you, not benchmarking on what anyone else has achieved. So again, it's not about externalizing things, it's about for you, what is success? What do you actually really kind of need? And then the third thing is really simple, what do you need to do to achieve it? So just use those three idiot steps of strategy for kind of understanding where you're at, understanding really where you want to be, and be true to it, challenge yourself on it, and then kind of go from that, what do I need to do to get there? And by that you're on the pathway to achieving and living the life you want. So that's my second step, and you know, that one is very much about kind of putting into action things. Thirdly, you know, my third tip kind of has a whole range of elements to it, because it's about, because people do that, you know, so they might say, well, I'm unfit and I want to be fit. So I'll give you a guy that I worked with once. He said, I'm unfit and I want to be fit. So what do you want to do? And he said, okay, I want to run, you know, three times a week. I said, cool. Well, it's one of the things you can do, right? You know, select the days that you do. That will work for you for running three times a day, if that's what you want to do. Cool. And so we went through it and I said, how do you feel about that? And I was really excited and really pumped. And he was like, oh, yes, okay. I said, why? I said, look, the top one, you know, get fit, it's nice and easy. You put it in your calendar already. I've seen you've taken action. And he said, yeah. And I said, why are you saying yeah? Like, this should be great for you. And he said, well, I don't like running. So why did you put it on? And he said, well, to be fit, you need to run. And I said, right. What about all the other sports and things that you can do? He said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you could cycle, you could do this, you could do this, you could do this. He said, oh, I love cycling. And I said, okay, well, action, buy a bike. He said, well, I've got a bike. And I said, well, go cycling now. I said, why didn't you say about running? But all it was his whole family had been runners. And
right.
He came from a family of runners. So he just assumed that to be fit, you had to run. So make sure that you're being true to yourself when you do it. And then the next thing is about, you know, effective implementation. So to make change, you've got to ritualize. So instead of these being added on actions, fit them in into your way of life. Tools around the things that you do. So if it is to get fit, then cycle to work, because then that's easy. It's not like, you know, you're bunging an additional kind of thing on. Ritualized things. Make sure you change your home environment to align with being brilliant and being your highest true self. Change, you know, your rituals. Make sure that you're focused on being around the people that are shining a light on you being brilliant, not spending the time on the people who are not. Stopping rituals that are not aligned with you being brilliant, e.g. watching TV when you could be, you know, listening to podcasts or whatever the case may be. You know, so it's about, you know, these top tips for implementation to really ingrain them. And for you, like, how can you set yourself up for success, even setting reminders? And there's loads of apps as well. For instance, you can program in the commitments. And then it gives you a little alert of, have you done your run this week, or have you, you know, done a 10-minute meditation, you know, so those reminder. So how are you going to remind yourself on a daily basis? Put affirmations up, you know, around the home, for instance.
Yeah.
So all of these things will help you actually make sure that you do what you know is actually aligned with your highest and true self. So making sure that you're setting yourself up for success as well is the biggest thing as well.
Yeah, I love that. And as they say, what gets scheduled gets done. So
correct
be part of it.
That's right. And and that's where, you know, even for myself, if I don't ritualize it doesn't happen. But then if, for instance, you do fall off the wagon with things, don't go, well, that doesn't work. Go, well, doing it at that time doesn't work for me. Doing it in that way doesn't work for me. So it was important enough to put it on the plan initially. It's still important, but just how I'm implementing it isn't. So, for instance, if going to the gym every morning doesn't work for you because you've got the kids to deal with and there's other pressures at home, then find a different time. Do you know what I mean? And then what people often do is kind of go, oh, well, it doesn't work. I'll just, I just won't do it.
And
they sacrifice. They just sacrifice themselves. They say no. You know, if you don't succeed at first, try again. You know, the old saying.
Exactly.
And that's exactly true. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, Robin, thank you so much. I feel like we could talk forever. I've got so many more questions. I might have to do a round two with you.
I'd be more than happy to.
Oh, be amazing. So this is Amy Hackett-Jones of the Being Brilliant Being Brilliant Radio Show, episode number 36 with Robin Miles. And you can find Robin at www.inspiremeconsulting.com.au. And if you've been inspired by today's talk, which I'm sure you must have been, Robin, what's your scheduler email, website?
Website, it's meetme, so meetme.so/Robin.
Fabulous. So that's where you can find Robin and book in a call. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Robin.
I've had
an absolute ball.
It's been
great. Really great to connect. Yeah. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening in. Be sure to tune in 2 weeks from now. And in the meantime, go out there and be your brilliant selves. Be the lighthouse. Shine your light no matter how fierce the storm. Go out there, be brilliant, and I'll see you all next time. Bye for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.